Thank you for that introduction. As you mentioned, today my talk is on the effect of Monsanto corn event 88017, an adult diet on selected western corn rootworm life history traits. To begin with, the western corn rootworm is a major pest of corn in both the United States, where it is native, and in Europe, where it was recently introduced. The larvae of the western corn rootworm feeds below ground on corn roots, causing physical damage to the roots and reducing their ability to uptake both water and nutrients. The adults feed on floral tissues above ground and are seldom thought to cause economic damage. Monsanto corn event 88017 is a transgenic event developed by the Monsanto company to prevent damage by larval western corn rootworms. This event expresses the insecticidal BT protein Cry3BB1 and has been commercialized for U.S. markets. Cry3BB1 has mostly been studied in a previous event, MON863, which is currently being phased out and replaced by MON88017. There have been some sublethal fitness costs associated with MON863, including reduced fecundity, reduced longevity, and a delay in emergence. We're seeing some of these same costs again in MON88017. In an experiment I won't be talking about today, we've noticed some reduced fitness with adults emerging during the peak emergence that feed on MON88017. These fitness factors may be very important in developing a good model for resistance management and developing ways to prevent resistance in field situations. However, it's not just BT that can cause sublethal effects in fitness for western corn rootworms. Later emerging beetles have been noted to have significant reductions in both longevity and fecundity compared to those emerging earlier in the curve. It's also important to remember that a cornfield is not a static environment. It changes throughout the season, and a beetle emerging at the beginning of the emergence curve is coming out in a different world than a beetle emerging at the end. With this, there's a general lack of research on the end of the emergence curve, on that late season ecology, what's going on at the very end of the season. We still, specifically and pertinently to my project, we don't know the genetic contribution of these late season beetles to the overall population. So, for my thesis, I am trying to determine the sublethal effects of MON88017 and advanced corn phenology by measuring the fecundity and longevity of adult western corn rootworms under experimental conditions. Two of my experiments so far have been conducted on beetles at peak emergence or on early emergence, and three of my experiments have been conducted on these late emerging beetles at the very end of the emergence curve. Today we're going to look at two of those three experiments, one from 2007, one from 2008. The research objectives of the experiments we'll be looking at today are to determine if later emerging western corn rootworms have fitness costs associated with dietary exposure to the corn event MON88017, and to determine the impact of corn ear phenology on fecundity and longevity in later emerging adults reared as larvae on event MON88017 or its non-transgenic ice line. To give you a better idea of what late emerging beetles are, this is one of the emergence curves we used from the ice line treatment in my experiment, and this large kind of grayish colored bar here is where we collected the beetles for late emergence. As you can see, this is sort of the very tail end of that. This is pertinent to developing plans for resistance management because there is a delay in emergence, so these late emerging beetles will be coming out in a similar environment to these from the ice line emerging in this stage. My first experiment was conducted on beetles emerging from the field from a natural infestation via trap crop in 2007. In 2008, we reared beetles in the greenhouse. They were artificially infested. However, we tried to make it as close to a natural situation as possible. It was done in very large boxes, and we used the same sort of emergence cages that we used in the field experiment. Once we collected the beetles in these large cages, we transferred them to small plexiglass boxes where a random mating was allowed to occur within the day's catch. They were divided into the treatments the day they were caught. After about a week in the boxes, some of the females began to show signs of being gravid. These females were moved to smaller rearing boxes. Food was collected fresh for them and changed every 2 to 3 days for the remainder of their lives. We didn't have anything that suggested that there were any differences resulting from crowding effects in our experiments. We collected the eggs from these beetles in the, via sifted soil in the bottom of their rearing cages and later washed that out and counted the eggs. We also recorded how long these beetles lived. For my 2007 experiment, we kept the beetles on either a lifetime diet of MON88017, which is this transgenic treatment here, or its iceline, and then we subdivided those into two more treatments, one with young corn, which is corn that had green silks, nice fresh ears, and with corn stages R2 to R3. For the maturing corn, we kept them on a diet of the same corn they had emerged from for the remainder of their lives, and it progressed from stage R3 until R6. For the 2008 experiment, we repeated the 2007 experiment and added another adult diet. As before, all of these were subdivided into young and maturing diets. Our results for fecundity from our field from the experiment in 2007 had the beetles fed the younger corn laying significantly more eggs than those fed the maturing corn. In 2008, we had the same results again, but with slightly more dramatic numbers. For the transgenic status of the corn in 2007, there was no significant difference between the iceline and the transgenic, although the iceline beetles tended to lay a few more eggs. For the 2008 experiment, the iceline beetles laid significantly more eggs than those fed MON88017. In both years, we had an interaction with longevity. The interaction in 2007 was within the MON88017 treatment. Those on younger corn tended to live significantly longer than those on maturing corn. In 2008, those on the younger corn in the iceline treatment tended to live longer than those on the maturing corn. In both years, though, there was a trend for beetles on the younger corn to live quite a bit longer than those on the maturing corn. Probably the most definitive conclusion from my talk is that there's a clear fitness advantage for late emerging female western corn rootworms to move to younger corn as the season progresses. By moving to this younger corn, they can greatly increase their fecundity and potentially increase their longevity as well. This may have some very important effects for resistance management. Additionally, we noted that weak trend in 2007 for beetles fed MON88017 to lay fewer eggs than beetles fed the iceline. In 2008, this trend became extremely significant, and the beetles fed the iceline laid almost twice as many eggs as those fed the transgenic. The 2008 experiment I did supports previous work done in my lab on MON863 that has shown a reduction in fecundity associated with Cry3BB1. Also, the delay in emergence associated with Cry3BB1 may further compound the fitness costs of feeding on maturing corn. If you remember, I mentioned earlier that the late emerging beetles already have fitness costs associated with them. This delay may be further compounded not just with emerging and having lower fecundity and lower longevity simply by emerging late. They may also have less food to feed on, or less quality food to feed on, and not be able to produce as many eggs with sort of a second hit in their life cycle. Also, if no younger corn is available, the fitness costs associated with maturing corn might encourage western corn rootworms to seek non-corn hosts. We've had a few observations in the field that seem to support this. Lastly, a later emerging female carrying a gene for resistance to Cry3BB1 would very likely be able to improve her longevity and fecundity by moving to younger corn. If she stays on the same corn she's emerged from, she likely will have very severe fecundity costs. However, if she can move to the fresh corn, a trap crop or something, she would be able to greatly increase her output to the next generation. With that, I'd like to acknowledge a few of the people who have helped me. And I will take any questions.